Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
I want you to take your Bibles. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And then I want you to also hold a place in Mark chapter 8. Have you put lights up on your house this year? Raise your hands up. I want to see who I'm in competition with. I know your address, so I'm going to drive by. Just see. How many of you have lights on a tree? Or you have lights in your house? Or you got something lit? What is it about lights? Right? When we put our lights up, Shannon and I, we'd go outside. I was in my house coat. She's like, oh, come outside. Let's look at the lights. I'm like, I'm in my house coat. She's like, it's all right. The neighbors won't notice you. They'll notice the lights. It's like, okay. So we looked at the lights. This is important because of, you know, just seeing the, I love the, you know, years ago when I was a kid, my parents would take me to a little drive-through place, you know, and it was kind of, you know, hokey-boom, chicka-boom kind of thing, you know, just drive-through and you see the lights, and it was okay. I was always ready to get out of the car and get away, but it was just neat to see all the lights. Thank God for our sight, right? And we were able to enjoy the beautiful thing God has created. And in the sights of the season, sometimes we lose perspective. And I just want to tell you, this isn't a Christmas message, but the most important thing that you're going to be able to see this Christmas won't happen with your eyes. It's going to happen from here. What you see from your heart's eye, from that perspective, and that sets Christmas apart from all the other seasons is because of what your heart sees in Christmas. The kids doing their nativity. The sights of hugging one another, spending some time together. That's the sights that I want you to see this Christmas. And it happens when you open your heart to the Lord. There's a song, it goes like this. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. You see? That's it, right? I want to see you. Let's make that a prayer as I begin the message. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, I pray also, look at Paul's words, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, may be opened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. Let's pray. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart. We want to see you. We want to see you. Now let's pray it together. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I used to travel to Mexico quite often. I'm the president of a missions organization, Amigos de Fe, that ministers to thousands of people in Mexico. We've got churches all over Mexico and South America, Cuba. And every time that I would go, years ago when I was frequently going, there was a little grandma named Lupita, and it never failed when I would come there in Mexico City and in Puebla that she wanted to pray for me. The thing about Lupita was that she was completely blind. She couldn't see at all. And so her family would bring her up and she'd say, I want to pray for Pastor Scott. And I would just sit down and let her pray over me. And it was just the most awesome blessing to have this woman who could not see me, but she had great vision. She saw more than just the world that was around her. She saw something beyond that. Her eyes were open. Her heart was open. And she had incredible sight and incredible vision into the things of God, the things that really matter. I'll never forget that because I wondered, you know, what it would be like if you were blind, if you couldn't see. Lupita kind of told me the story. Even if my physical eyes failed me, my sight didn't leave me, because if my eyes were opened in my heart, I would still be able to see the most important things of life. This morning, as Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, Lord, I pray that you would open these folks' eyes. Open the eyes of their heart. Let them be enlightened. Not their outer eyes, not the physical eyes. Open their inner eyes. I want you to hear me this morning. I want more than anything during this time of year, some of you right now, in the middle of all of your circumstances, I want you to be able to see something that you've never seen before. I want you to see with your heart. I want you to see the sights that have never seen and crossed your physical minds, but they are something that can only be seen by your heart. Paul didn't pray, I hope that you would resolve their circumstances or you would fix their problems. And that's so often our prayer. Lord, fix this, fix that, take care of this, take care of that, because all I see is heaviness and I see trouble and I've got problem here and I've got a problem there. Because we, honestly, we like to blame everything and all of our issues on outside circumstances when the reality is really an interior or an inside job. And so it's easy to blame everything that we see with our eyes. But Paul prays this prayer and it's different. He says, I pray that your heart would see. I pray that you would really, really see, that you would finally get it, that you would come to an understanding that your eyes can't get you there. And he says, I pray that your eyes, the eyes of your heart would be enlightened first, look at that, so that the hope, that you would know the hope to which he has called you. What's Paul mean right there? What's he saying? What's he telling to us right now, right here, this morning? December the 15th, 2019. What does he mean? Paul's saying this. You could put it in these words. He says, I want you to know the hope that God had when he had for you when he created you. I want you to know the hope that God had for you when he created you. If you have children, parents, you have hopes and dreams for your kids to do this and to do that and to become this and to become that. Do you know that God created you with that same feeling of hope? He said, I want you to be this. I hope that you see this. I hope that you come to know this in your life. God has hopes and dreams for you. And it's important, because if you don't know what God has hoped for you to be, then you, how will you know what your life has, if your life has been successful or not? If you don't know what God is wanting from you, how do you know that your life is successful? You could be very successful in life. You could do a lot of things and still never do the thing that God created you to do. You could be the president of a company. You could be a famous doctor. You could have all of these things and be recognized and go all over the world and still yet miss the purpose that God had for your life. The purpose that he created you, the hope. And he said, man, I hope one of these days, I hope that Jay knows me more than anything in this world. I hope one of these days that Paul is able to just stand and say, God, you have been faithful. I hope that one of these days my children will be able to lift their hands to me and say, thank you, Lord, for creating me the way you did. When Shannon and I first got married, I spent very little time in the kitchen, and that was because everybody wanted to not get sick from what I made. So she ran me out of the kitchen. Sometimes I would beat her home, and I would do my best. I'd try to cook something. I've learned. I've gotten better since then. But I remember one time I beat her home. She was still at work, and I came to the house, and I thought, hey, I'm going to make something. I'll just surprise her. So I looked in the pantry, and I found some pasta, and I'm thinking, pasta's easy. I mean, what do you got to do? You just throw it in some hot water. There we go. You know, so I did that. I made some pasta. We had some taco meat that was in the fridge that she had made, and I thought, well, I'm going to try this. So I pulled the taco meat out. I heat it up. I've got the pasta. I've got the taco meat, and then I just started kind of like, you know, cleaning out leftovers out of the kitchen. Oh, this might be good. So I just start pulling things out. And so I'm stacking it on the, and I just put it in this pan. I put it in a pan. And what do you do with something that looks like that? Well, you, of course, you grab a huge bottle of ketchup and you just cover the whole thing. And that's what I did. So I covered the whole thing in ketchup. You couldn't see what was in there. And to set it off, I mean, you've got to garnish your meal. I took American cheese, sandwich cheese, and I just laid it all over the top. It was a big, huge skillet. Shannon comes home. It actually didn't look like some kind of cheese casserole. Shannon comes home. She goes, what did you make? And I said, well, I call it mulligan. She said, what's mulligan? I said, I'm not sure, but it's the same thing you say when you have a bad tee shot in golf. And it doesn't turn out right. So we're calling this mulligan. Well, I'll just tell you, she's kicked me back out of the kitchen. I don't get to cook a lot, and mulligan went off the shopping list. But sometimes, you know what? People live their whole life just trying to throw things in there. Just throwing things in there. Maybe this is good. Maybe this is what I need to do. Maybe this is where I need to go. Maybe this is who I need to see. They spend all their things, all their time on those things that are just handy and easy. And they never ask the question, what does God want to create out of my life? I want you to understand something this morning. I want God to open your eyes to see what His purpose truly is, the hope that He has for you. Oh, how I wish that you could see. Some of you, you've got such a cheering section in heaven. They're hoping, man, let her see what God wants to do in her life. Just let her stop trying to throw things in there. Let her see what God wants to do in her life. Just, Paul said, I pray that your heart's eyes would be open and enlightened so that you may see the hope that God has for you. I pray that your eyes would be open, that you would be able to see the riches, as he says, of his glorious inheritance. Paul said, I want them to see what God has deposited in their life, what he's planted into their life. I want people to see that, know Jesus, the great treasure that God has placed within their life. Do you know what our problem usually is? We're so busy looking at the treasure in somebody else's life that we forget about the treasure God's placed in our own. We see everybody else's gifts. We see everybody else's blessings. We see everybody else's inheritance. But I want you to notice something. It's not your inheritance. The scripture says, Paul's words, he says, the riches of his inheritance. Paul says, I want you to see this. I want you to see that God took his inheritance and he placed it into our life, into our messy lives. God took his treasure and put it in the middle of your trash. All of the trash that can flow through our lives and the difficult things that we deal with and the things that we go through, God takes his treasure, the heavenly treasure, and he puts it in the middle of the trash that flows through this world. And he says, you have been given something incredibly great. I want you to see it. Don't look at everybody else's. Look at what I have put in your life. Look at the grace that I have placed upon you. Friends, there are some of you here today who should not even be here. You shouldn't be alive. You shouldn't even be walking. You shouldn't be even giving God glory. You shouldn't be singing a song. But for the grace of Almighty God, that's why you're here. He's put a deposit in you. You have an inheritance. Put treasure in your life. Stop looking around and saying, man, if I had that, if I had that, if I had what they had, if I had what they had. No, my God, His treasure is in your life. Paul said, I want them to see that. I want them to see that treasure. He said, I want their eyes also to see that incomparable great power for those who believe. He said, man, there is an unlimited power source that God invests in all people. An incomparable great power that dwells within us. Over and over, Jesus touched people's lives in incredible ways. He touched the lame. He touched the crippled. He touched women that had female issues. He touched the deaf. He touched the mute. Many times over, Jesus healed those who were blind. He healed those who could not see. Here's what I want you to notice. As many of you have read many of these stories, in every case where Jesus touched someone, He always went beyond simply healing their bodies. He went beyond the disease that presented itself to them. On the outside, He touched them, but the true healing took place on the inside. Jesus wants us to understand how important it is, not that our eyes see, but that our heart sees. And Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 is something that came from his personal life. There was a man named Saul. He was a persecutor of Christians. He was on his way to Damascus to kill believers in Jesus Christ. And as the writer of Acts, Luke, says that the apostle Paul, this man named Saul, was on his horse with a caravan of other leaders trying to destroy the church. An incredible light came and shook this man from his horse, knocked him to the ground. And this man, Saul, heard the voice of God. The voice of Christ spoke to him. But at that moment, his physical eyes were blinded. The Bible says he was blind. He was blinded by the light of God. And he went completely blind in his eyes. But what was incredible is that sight came to his heart. So when Paul says, I want that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened. What Paul is saying is he's saying, what I could not see for so many years, the reality of Christ, the reality of a God who truly loved me, the reality of what life was really all about, what He made for me, what He gave me, I didn't see all of that until He got my attention and drove me off of my horse, and I woke up with my eyes blinded, but my heart was wide open, able to see. And I found the truth. There's another example of what I'm talking about in the book of Mark. I want you to look there with me in your Bibles. Mark chapter 8. Another example. Verse 22 of Mark chapter 8, there's a story that I want to read to you. It says, and they came to Bethsaida, speaking of Jesus and His disciples, and some people brought a blind man and a beggar and begged Jesus to touch him. And He took the blind man by the hand, and He led him outside the village. And when He had spit on the man's eyes, and put His hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. And once more, Jesus put His hands on the man's eyes, and then his eyes were opened, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And so Jesus sent him home saying, don't go back into the village. Let me just take a few moments just to kind of open up more this idea about opening the eyes of my heart to see what God wants you to see right now. In verse 22, it says that his disciples, they came to Bethsaida. And a unique phrase that you see there is so important. Because he says, just following that, he says, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. I'm so thankful for those some people in my life. I'm thankful for those some people in your life too. It may not have been your mother. You may not have had a father that would take you to Jesus. You may not have had family, but I can tell you this, my friend. There will always be those some people in your life that will take you to Jesus. There will always be someone. You know why? Because God loves you too much to leave you alone. He'll send someone if you'll listen. If you'll see the right thing, God will send somebody to take you to the right place, to take you to Jesus, where you can find healing, where you can find hope. Some of you have never had the benefit of having that support system. You've never had the benefit of having people around you, that strong faith family that helped you find your way. But I want you to know, miracle upon miracle, against all odds, little by little, surviving wherever you could, you finally arrived, and here you are today. I look across this audience this morning, and I know some of your stories, and I can tell you that just like mine, only by the grace of God, that's why you amen so much when I said that a few moments ago, because you know that had it not been for some people and the grace of God, you wouldn't be standing here. So can I encourage you, if that may be your life story, instead of grieving over what you didn't have, why don't you start thanking God and celebrating what you do have? And that is that there are people who love you, and there are people who care about you, and there is a God that's full of grace and love, and He has got you here today to hear the truth, to hear the message that Jesus does love you. I'm so thankful for some people who talked to us when we needed talking to, who didn't give up on us, who watched us even when our family wouldn't watch us, who coached you, who listened to you, who prayed for you, who brought you here today. I am thankful for some people. I want this church to be that some people in this community. You may not be related to them, you may not know them, but you can be some people who can take someone who is blind, who doesn't see what life's really all about, and you can take them to Jesus where their heart's eyes can be opened and seen the truth. Be some people to somebody. Make a difference in their life. God will always send someone who cares for you. He'll always send that some person. The Bible says that some people bring this blind man to Jesus, and look what he does. Look in verse 23. He took the blind man by the hand and he led him outside the village. Now I want you to see the understanding, the context of this story. They had just crossed the lake. They just crossed the Sea of Galilee. They had just arrived in Bethsaida, and they bring this man to him, and what does Jesus do? He's just walked into the town, and what does Jesus? He takes him by the hand, and he walks directly back outside. Jesus, heal this man. Okay. And he turns around and walks out of the city. He turns him around. And the disciples, they're a little bit dismayed because they don't know what to do and they don't know what Jesus is up to. And they say, Jesus, we just got here. We've got business to do here. We've got things that we need to take care of. We've got people that we need to see. We've set up some meetings. And Jesus walks this blind man right back out of the city they had just walked into. Now, you have to ask yourself an honest question. Why would Jesus do this? Why would he do this? I mean, couldn't Jesus have healed this man right there on the spot? The answer is yes, he could have if he wanted to. But why did he want to take him outside the city? Was it for the Lord's benefit or was it for this man's? And I ask this question. What is it that you're wanting to see? Because a few verses earlier, Jesus interrupts this discussion while him and his disciples are seeing the multiplication of loaves and fishes. And Jesus interrupts this question between his disciples, and they're talking about what they see with their eyes, and Jesus says, you know what, You've seen an incredible miracle, but you still don't understand. What you're looking for with your physical eyes is not really what I want you to see. They couldn't figure out what was going on because the vision of their heart was less important than the vision of their eyes. How often we make that mistake? The same mistake. We look around with our eyes and we lose our faith because of what our eyes. But the faith, what you have in your life, in your heart, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith, the faith that comes from our heart. And Jesus speaks as he had just a few verses earlier. He speaks of that entire city, and he talks about the city in this way. He says that city is filled with, we've done all kinds of miracles, but they still don't believe. They don't have faith. They don't see. They're keeping their heart's eyes closed. It was a faith-killing city. It was a faith-killing place. We live in a culture that's faith-killing. We live in a day and time where our faith can be just sucked out of our lives if we're not careful. We're inundated by doubt and fear and negative messages that are just pushed upon us through every device and every means of technology known to man. It's pushed upon us, and our spirit is under siege all of the time, seeking to just pull the drain plug on your faith in your life. And so Jesus takes this man outside of this city, outside of this culture, until he gets this man into an environment where unbelief is not a hindrance. You see, it's very difficult, not impossible, but it's very difficult to have a life-changing experience in a doubt-filled worldly environment. Jesus gets this man outside the city, and he does one of the most unusual things that you will ever see Jesus do. He spits in this man's face. Now, let's just take a moment and imagine that. He's led this man, this poor blind man, outside the city. And then he spits in his face. As the spittle runs down this man's face, can you imagine the thoughts going through his mind? Who is this man that has just taken me outside and spit in my face? It's so abnormal. That's when you go back and you say, I don't know what friends brought me to this guy. You make some phone calls. The best question that you can ask as you read that story is, why doesn't he get upset? Why doesn't this blind man get upset because Jesus has now led him all the way outside the city that he's going to have help getting back? That's what he's thinking. And why would this man spit in my face? That's a good question. Why didn't he get angry? Why didn't he get upset? I can tell you why. You see, there comes a time when you've been blind and without hope for so long that you don't care what it takes just to have a chance to see again. Can I just give you a line the Lord dropped in my heart? Being insulted isn't a luxury for those who are desperate. When you're desperate enough, you can't afford to be offended. Did you hear that? That's important in our highly offended culture. When you're desperate for God enough, you don't hold the luxury to be offended anymore. Even if spit runs down your face. He was in too big of a need. He had too great of a desire to be insulted by what God was going to do. You know what? There are church that there are people who go to church and they won't stay because the parking lot's too far from the door. They complain that the seats aren't comfortable enough. They say, well, my week was just too long. I don't have time to go to church. Church doesn't look like the way it should look, or it's not the kind of church that I'm used to. Let me tell you something. People that say those things, you're not in trouble. You're not desperate for God. When you're in real trouble and you really need Jesus, you'll walk across the parking lot in pouring down rain to get to Jesus. You don't care who's going to sit next to you, what they look like or what they smell like. You don't care if the pastor wears a suit and tie or if he wears jeans and a button-up. You don't care. You don't care if the music is rocking or if they sing a hymn. You don't care if the preaching is long or short or loud or soft. Because when you get tired of being sick, when you get tired of being blind, when you get tired of life being the same old, when you get tired of being under the pressure of what life has handed you, when you get tired and desperate enough, all of those offenses go out the door, because anything that you can get from the Lord is all that matters. You don't care about all that other stuff. That is the heart of a desperate person in need for God. All that stuff doesn't matter. You don't care. And maybe someone who's here sitting this morning, and you're trying to act important, and you're doing your Sunday duty, but I can tell you, maybe someone else sitting beside of you who's desperate, and to be honest, they don't care what you think about them, and they don't care what they think about you, because it's not about you. All they want is to see. They just want to see. I want my heart to see. I want to be free of this. I don't care. I didn't come to church to show off. I didn't come to church to see friends. I didn't come to church to see what the pastor was like. I'm not kicking the tires on this church. I am desperate to see God do something in my life. And that is a heart of this man who allowed to be walked out of a city and spit in the face. He didn't care. As long as something changed in his life, that's all that matters. My friends, if you're here this morning, you say, that's what I desire in my life. I want to see something that can change me more than anything. You are in the right place, because you can see Jesus Christ right here and right now. He can take your heaviness. He can take your burden. He says, take all that stuff. Give it to me, because what I will give you in return is light. It is life freeing. It is life changing. It is heart opening. It is sin delivering. Change you. You can walk away from it. Desperation from a heart is answered by God. Not a very typical method, but Jesus does it. He spits in his eyes and he puts hands on him and he says, okay, now I want you to tell me, what do you see? What does he say? He says, Lord, I see people, but they look like trees walking around. Of all the things, as I looked at this passage, of all the things that this man could have noticed, the sky, the green grass, they weren't far from Bethsaida's, right on the shore, the beautiful water, the sea of Galilee. Of all the things that he notices, what does he notice? He notices people. He notices people. He said they look like these people, but they look like trees. You know what you see most of the time is what you want to see most of the time. What he was looking for. This man lived in a life unto himself. His eyes couldn't see. The only world he knew was right here inside of his mind. Those relationships were there, but they weren't visible. And what he wanted so much was he wanted to be able to see people, to recognize that relationship. Do you look at other people today and do you see distrust? Do you see apprehension or anxiety? Do you see disdain? Do you see a utility? Or do you look at them and you think of tomorrow? You think of hope? Do you think of peace? What are you looking for? Because what you're looking for is normally what you're going to find, because what your heart is looking for is much more important than what your eyes are looking at. You see, the most important decisions in your life happen at that time. I'll close with this thought. You, like this man, had the opportunity to settle for much less. He said, "I see men, but they look like trees." What he's really saying is he said, "I've had an experience with God, but my faith is still not where it needs to be. I'm saved, but I still have a negative attitude. I'm saved, but I'm still not that godly example that my kids need to see. I'm saved, but I'm still held back in my worship. I'm saved, but I'm still trying to walk down dead-end roads instead of following the way the Lord wants me to go. I'm saved, but I'm still living like a blind man. I need another touch. I need another touch." And this man right here in this moment, this is what I want you to see. This man right here in this moment, as sight began to come and flood his life, he had to pass this test of faith, the test of mediocrity. The test of mediocrity. Will you be satisfied with mediocrity? Will you be satisfied with just status quo? Will you be satisfied with just one step? Will you be satisfied with just being halfway there? Will you be satisfying with not getting all the way? There are certain things in your life, my friends, that you cannot compromise on. I mean, you can't be almost pregnant. Right? You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant. You can't be sort of dead. You're either dead or you're alive. You can't compromise those. You can't compromise kind of pregnant, kind of dead. You can't compromise those things. And if you're desperate enough, you have to understand that God doesn't want us to compromise on our faith. When you're desperate enough, you'll say, "Lord, I need another touch. You've begun to open the eyes, my eyes, the heart, my eyes and my heart. But Lord, I need another touch of heaven." And here's the decision you have to make. Everybody in this room, as far as your relationship with God goes, you can allow God to touch you and begin to open your eyes so that you see what He wants you to see. And you can walk away without the clear vision and the full faith that He wants you to have. And here's what happens. Your Christian walk becomes unsatisfying. You still try to search the world for the things that will help fill that void because you have tried to compromise faith with mediocrity. This culture we live in seeks to deny that second touch. But God wants to finish what He started in your life. He didn't bring you this far to leave you to go it on your own the rest of the way. Come on, somebody. God didn't bring you this far down the road. He didn't walk you through that nasty divorce to kick you to the curb. Come on, you know, that hits home. He didn't deliver you from cancer years ago so that he could allow you to die a miserable death now. Come on. He didn't save you from drug addiction, alcoholism, so that you could become addicted to something else. He wants you to live free. He wants you to walk in that wholeness and that healing. A second touch. Oh, pray that their eyes may be enlightened. Open the eyes of their heart, Lord. Let them see you. But Lord, you look like a tree. Well, let me touch you again. Let me just give you another touch. You need your vision back? You want your faith back? You want your life back? You want hope back? You want the power back? It's just another touch. It's just another touch. That's it. What I want you to see is not all the lights and the prettiness of the Christmas season. What I want you to see and what I want many people who know you that can look at you and see is Jesus. This Christmas season is unique for some of you. Some of you, you're 180 degrees from where you were last Christmas. The battle that you were fighting last Christmas, you may have not even had one, now is incredible. You've got a whole new enemy that you're fighting this Christmas. And a year ago, it wasn't even a thought in your mind. But I'm so thankful that the Scripture tells us that He moves us from glory to glory. Just one step at a time. Friends, He's taking you one step at a time, one touch at a time, one touch at a time. Man, I remember that first touch, don't you? Man, my eyes started opening. I remember the first touch of some of your lives that your eyes just started to see. that's not where I want my story to end. I need another touch. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I want to see you again. I want to see you today and tomorrow. I want to see you this Christmas. I want to see you next Christmas. I want a standing appointment. Let's bow our heads all over this room. Bridget, would you come? I want to pray for you, and then we're going to sing. Bridget's going to sing this song, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Whatever's going on in your life today, I want you to know God's been there. He's already seen it. And I want you to be encouraged. I want you to see past some of the things that you're dealing with right now in your own life. Some of you say, well, everything's going great. Well, then I pray that God would open the eyes of your heart to see those who are hurting. I want you to hear that. God uses the healthy touch the sick. If your life is healthy and you are doing great, then help someone whose life is not that way right now. Don't just dismiss this time and say, well, I'm fine. No, no, no. God has a purpose, the hope to which He has called you. Be a light for somebody else. Be an encouragement. Be a prayer warrior. Be someone who can bless someone who's not seeing the light. You see, we all have a place in this. We all have a need for the touch of God upon our life. Lord Jesus, I pray that God, that you touch this church. Every person, Lord, who is here today. There's many, Lord, their eyes have been opened, Lord, to see. presence, yet they need another touch. Oh God, we need another touch. Another touch of healing upon our bodies. Another touch of grace, Lord, upon my life. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that you would help us today to let our eyes be open to you. Let us see the most wonderful sights, Lord, this Christmas. Not in the lights or the trees or the decorations or the gifts and presents, but let us see the most wonderful sight, and that is you changing lives. Change that son, change that daughter, change that father, change that mother, Lord, this Christmas. Let them see the light of Jesus. Let that be the greatest thing that they open this year, is the eyes, their eyes, the heart's eyes. Father, I pray that you would just bless them, Lord, that you would touch them, that you would hold them, Lord, that you would continue to encourage them. In Jesus' mighty and precious name.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.